Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks that thou hast brought us here together, Lord, to be assembled about thy word, to be instructed, to be fed with that which gives life. And so, Father, it is far more than that which our physical bodies would enjoy, Father, but it is of our soul's salvation, and it revives our spirit. And so we just give thee thanks. And pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us throughout this day, bless thy word wherever it would go forth, whether it be in the Sunday school room or throughout pulpits, throughout the world. Father, may thy word go forth in power, may hearts be touched, Lord, as the approaching of thy Son, Jesus Christ, comes. Lord, for this we do ask it is in his name. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew and read from chapter number 21, beginning with verse number 28. Matthew 21, beginning with verse number 28.
Nađeno je da se čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju 21. glava, 26. stih i nadalje. Sveto Evanđelje po Mateju 21. glava od 26. stiha.
But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. And last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize upon his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of that vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Throughout the history of mankind, there has always been this scarcity mentality where there is not enough food, there's not enough water, there's not enough energy, there's not enough resources. And because of that, there has always been, perhaps one of the things that come from that is greed and other sin of jealousy or envy and covetousness. And so there's always been that scarcity mentality among mankind. But that's not so with God. Jesus Christ was sent here upon this earth that we might have life, and that more abundantly. God wants to deal with us in an abundant manner. He wants to give unto us of the bounty of his riches. And so when we come to God in that perspective, that mankind thinks of a scarcity mentality, but not so with God. It's an abundant mentality. God says that in Malachi, he says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven unto you and pour you out a blessing, so much so that you will not be able to receive it all." Paraphrasing there a bit. This is the God that we serve. He wants to give unto us of his abundance. And that all comes through Jesus Christ and through his word. And so we rejoice in the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. And so let's always remember that God wants to deal with us with this abundance and have that abundance mentality in him and know that we are rich in him. Yet oftentimes when we go through life, there are things that overwhelm us and cause us consternation to some degree. It's at these times that we also look to God's word, as we always do, and know that in those times that we are overwhelmed, that we can be led to the rock that is higher than I. Led to Jesus Christ. Led to him who provides stability and truth and strength and grace and love to us. And so let's remember that as well. God deals with us abundantly, and we can come to the rock that is higher than I. It's more about him. It's about his kingdom. It's about serving the Lord, and our identity, our aspirations, our desires, those just simply fade away. They mean nothing. It's about the kingdom of God and his righteousness and serving God and doing what he would have us to do and letting him there then bless us according to his will. We read here this morning of some parables that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. The audience that he was teaching these two parables to were the elders of the people and the chief priests. He was speaking to them, the rulers of the synagogues, the rulers in the temple, those who were establishing the religious law. They were sitting in Moses' seat, and so he's speaking to them. And he had to bring a message that was pretty difficult for them to hear. He had to bring a message to them that they were saying the right things, but they were not doing the right things. And in not doing the right things, the kingdom of heaven was being taken away from them and given to a nation that brings forth fruit. And that came to us, the Gentile people. And so here, as we read these two parables, that let's remember that Jesus here is speaking to the elders of the people and to the chief priests. So he's speaking to them, and he says, "What think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" That was the message. Go work. Be employed. Have a servant attitude. Do what God would have you to do. Go work. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ to these chief priests and to the rulers of the people. Go work today in my vineyard. So, as he's speaking to two sons, the first son says, "I will not," but afterward he repented and went. At first, he had stubbornness. He had defiance. He wasn't going to listen. He was going to do his own thing. "I will not." But later on, he repents and he goes. He does what the father asked him to do, to go work in the field. There's a fulfillment of that which he was told to do. So that was the first son. He came initially with stubbornness and defiance. Later he repented. Then the second son, he comes and he says the same message. Go work. Go work. And the response from the second son was, I go, sir, and he went not. The first part was deceit. He was going to deceive his father, saying, I go, sir, and giving him the proper respect and say, calling him sir, I go, sir. But he says he went not. He went not. There was a disobedience. He deceived on the first part, and then there was a disobedience. He went not. He did not work in the kingdom that God called him to work in, to go work in the vineyard. And so Jesus asks the question and says, which of them twain did the will of his father? Which of the two sons? Which one did it? It didn't take very much thought to come up with the right answer. They said, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Jesus is asking them, which one did the will of the Father? Not which one was saying what words, but which one did the will of the Father? And when they answered correctly, he says that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. John came in the way of righteousness. There was no disputing that John came in the way of righteousness, that he came forth bringing forth the message of God. All counted him as a prophet, whether they were Jews from Jerusalem or whether they were people from the other areas as well, up in Galilee or wherever they came from. When they came to John the Baptist, they recognized this is a prophet from God. He is speaking truth. There was no dispute about that. And so Jesus is teaching them, God, John came to you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. Chief priests, rulers of the people, you didn't believe John? He was truly full of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. So here's what Matthew says earlier in his gospel of that account, that when John the Baptist saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, as that first son did. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. And here's the message, therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John the Baptist was bringing a message. We need to bear good fruit. We need to do good. Jesus Christ is bringing forth this message to the chief priests and to the rulers of the people. We need to do good. It's not enough to just simply say good, but to do good. It's important that we go work in the vineyard. Which one did the will of the Father? John came in the way of righteousness. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. They repented not. They saw the harlots and the publicans repenting, but they didn't of themselves. Matthew himself, who wrote this gospel, was a publican himself. He repented, and he did the will of Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus was chief of the publicans. He repented and did the will of Jesus Christ in giving half of his goods to the poor and restoring fourfold any that he swindled. And so there were those that repented, that were publicans and that were harlots. Think of Mary Magdalene and others. They repented at the message of Jesus and of John the Baptist. But these chief priests and the rulers of the people did not. In Psalms we read, this is repentance. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Matthew, Zacchaeus, Mary Magdalene, others had a broken heart for the sins that they once committed. They repented. They did what God would have them to do. They followed the instruction of Jesus. And so they were encouraged, and we are this morning as well, to depart from evil and do good. To do good. It's just simply that simple, where Jesus is teaching to do good. Do good. And now he brings forth another parable. And he says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. This is a clear indication of the work of God. It's all his. He planted the vineyard. He hedged it round about. He digged a wine press and he built a tower. It's all his. It all belongs to him. And then these chief priests, these rulers of the people, were instructed to now go work in that which God hath provided. Go work in that. And it says here that when the time of fruit drew near, that he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they may receive of the fruits, that he may receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent more, and they did the same to those. And then he says, they will reverence my son. And he did the same to them as well. Truly, they were wicked husbandmen. It says, when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize upon his inheritance. And he was speaking again to the chief priests and to the rulers of the people. And if we flip over a few chapters to chapter 26, we read that then assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people, these same people, unto the place of the high priest who is called Caiaphas, and they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. So Jesus was speaking this parable. God sent to you, children of Israel, prophets. God sent to you, children of Israel, judges. God sent to you, children of Israel, people who would have you turn away from your sin, and you didn't listen to them. You never listened to them. And we read that in Stephen's account to the Jewish people in Acts chapter 7, that you're a stiff-necked people and you've always done this. You've killed those that were sent to you. You've despised them and you would have none of it. And then you take God's only begotten Son and you take him and you kill him likewise. And so Jesus says, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? When he who owns it all, who planted that vineyard, who built the wine press, who built the tower, who did it all, and he's now knows that he's coming back to the vineyard. And these husbandmen that were told to work that vineyard, they didn't. They slew those who he sent, and even more servants that he sent, and they slew his son. These chief priests and the elders of the people, they knew the right answer. It wasn't very difficult to know the right answer. And so they said, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. It wasn't very hard for them to come to that conclusion. That was very easy. Based on the story, based on the facts that were presented, it was easy to come to this conclusion. Just as King David did when Nathan the prophet came to David and said, hey, David, there was a man who was very wealthy. He had a lot of sheep, and a visitor came to him, and he spared to take of his own flock, and he went and took from this one man who had one little sheep, and he held it in his bosom as if it was his daughter, and you took that sheep from him, and you slew it for the provision for your guest. What shall be done to that man? And David said, that man shall surely die. It wasn't very difficult to come to that conclusion. That was the right thing to do. And same thing here. These chief priests and these and these elders of the people, they knew the right conclusion. They knew what should happen. He will miserably destroy those wicked men. They didn't bring forth fruit. Worse than that, they killed those that were sent to them. It's not very difficult for us to come to a conclusion what's right and what's wrong. We know that serving is certainly better than laziness. We know that laying down our life is better than being strong in our life and we're going to do our own thing. We know that submission is better than doing our own thing, walking in disobedience. These aren't hard things to understand. It's not so much do we understand what's right and what's good. It's are we bearing fruit? Are we doing what God would have us to do? Are we yielding ourselves to Him? Are we departing from evil and doing good? Doing good is very generalized. There's nothing specific about it. The Jews try to lay down laws that were very, very specific. But here Jesus Christ is teaching, do good. Do good. Jesus Christ taught, love your enemies, do good, lend, and hoping for nothing in return, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Do good. Very generalized. Nothing specific. You have to do this, and you have to do it that, and you need to be in this circumstance when you're doing this and that. It's not like that. In doing good, it's very open. There's no limitations. Something very, very small, as in giving a cup of cold water, or something very great, giving up of our lives. Doing good is what we are being called to, and what the chief priests and the elders of the people were being called to as well. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. There's a psalm where these verses are at. And certainly, they, as the chief priests and the rulers and the elders of the people, would know about these psalms. And this as it was written in the Scriptures. They knew it. He's like, didn't you ever read that? These were the religious leaders that were trying to take the centerpiece that God gave, and they were trying to disannul it. They were trying to take it away. And so Jesus Christ is teaching that the stone which the builders rejected, they were the builders. They were supposed to be the religious leaders of this time. They rejected Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ has become the head of the corner. I'm not that familiar with building, but my understanding is that the cornerstone was the piece where everything else was built off of. It was the centerpiece of a building. In our day, there might be better analogies to that, but regardless, it's Jesus Christ who's the centerpiece of life, the centerpiece of Him who gives us the abundant life. To know Him, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And to enjoy and relish in this abundance that God would give unto us. And that when we feel that overwhelmingness in our lives, that we can go to that rock that is higher than ourselves. And recognize, it's not about me, it never was about me, it never will be about me, but it is always about Jesus Christ. And then doing good to His honor and to His glory. And so Jesus says to them, therefore, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. They weren't bearing fruit. They were not bearing fruit. And Jesus Christ was pointing that to them. Again, if we flip a couple chapters over to Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes and to His disciples, and He says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They're the ones who were now taking the place of where Moses at one time stood, and during Moses' time, where he was the mediator between the people and God. And so He's saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, because they are speaking, in most cases, the right thing. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They don't do. They were like that second son who went not to go work in the vineyard. They were those husbandmen that slew those that were slain, slew those who were sent to them. And so Jesus Christ here is teaching, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and they do not. So we read in Romans then that God broke that branch that they once were. He broke that off because they were not bearing fruit. And he grafted in the wild olive branch, which would be us, that we would then bear fruit, that we would do what God would have us to do, that we would be the ones who would be laboring in God's vineyard. But the Bible there cautions us is, be careful, because if you don't bear fruit, you will be cast off just as the natural branch was cast off. The Bible says that to him to know, to do good, again, very generalized, and we know what that means, therefore, him to know to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. If we do not do what God would have us to do, to us it is sin. And so therefore Jesus says, love your enemies, do good, do good. Lend, and hoping for nothing in return, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Ye shall be the children of the highest. You will be part of the kingdom. You will be laboring and a part and bearing fruit to God's honor and to his glory when we love our enemies and when we do good. Depart from evil and do good. It's a humbling thought to think that Jesus has chosen us and ordained us to go and bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. Us? Jesus has given unto us that we should go forth and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain. It's incumbent upon us, therefore, then, that we would do good, that it would be a part of our lives to do good. Jesus in the Beatitudes of this gospel, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We do these good works to glorify God because he has done so much for us. We do good works that we might be a part of that kingdom. The righteousness that we have of ourselves is filthy rags. We can all acknowledge that. We have no righteousness of ourselves. But when God's Spirit is directing us, when God gives us his strength, his wisdom, his mercy, his Spirit, that when we go forth and do that which would be good in his sight, it brings honor and it brings glory unto him, and then there is great value there. There are ways that we can make a difference in this world. There are ways where when there's people who are going through a very difficult time, who have a lot of angst in their lives, we can come to them and do them good, providing comfort and peace. And again, it's open-ended how that comfort and that peace can be given. To do good in that manner, it's open-ended. There's many methods. There's many methods of being able to provide comfort and peace to those who have a lot of angst in their lives. When there is hatred that is shown, we can do good by showing love. When there is bitterness in somebody's life, we can do good by showing even forgiveness. And when there is that offense, that we can show even forgiveness. There is many ways where we can do good and be a part of God's kingdom. That at the end of our lives, that he might say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. You did good. There's that parable of the Good Samaritan, that there was a Levite, the priest, and the Good Samaritan. It was the Good Samaritan that did good. Again, at the end of that parable, Jesus is asking, so which one did the will of or was a neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And it was very easy to come to the right conclusion based on the evidence in that story. And it was that the Samaritan. But they didn't want to say the Samaritan. They just simply said he that showed mercy. And then Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. As the world becomes darker, the light of Jesus Christ can shine brighter through us. We can do good. And this is what Jesus is calling us to. It doesn't have to be a great thing. It doesn't have to be impressive. People don't have to see it. We can do simple deeds of goodness, and God will be glorified. God will be magnified. This is what he's calling us to. This is what he's speaking to us. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
In the scripture that we've read this morning, Jesus came to the place where the people were gathered, and his message made it clear what God desired of them. And then he told them how they could do it. And the Lord comes where we gather. And maybe not in a very public questioning, but in the places of the hidden man of the heart. He reveals unto us what is God's desire in obedience. And he tells us how to do it. Whosoever shall fall on this stone, this chief cornerstone, shall be broken. As we would consider where we are in relation to what God expects, in honesty, and as the prayers and the songs went up that spoke of these things, turn to God with a meek and a contrite heart. Because the choice is ours. And the choice is between two. A life of obedience, faith, and trust in Jesus Christ as God offers this precious stone to us. Or to reject him. The scribes and the chief priests tried to avoid the question when Jesus asked them, where did John the Baptist come from? Was his message from heaven or from men? And they said, we can't tell. But choosing, not making a choice is no choice. And at the end of the chapter, they tried to take away Jesus. They sought to lay hands on him. That isn't a choice either. Choice is obvious, and choice is clear. It's in the words of Jesus Christ. And he offers the way, the truth, and the life. And this is abundance of grace and forgiveness and mercy, as the brother began meditation this morning. This is true riches. May God give us the wisdom, honesty, and boldness to choose what he offers. May God bless his word. Amen.